Okay. Tonight, Thursday. Yeah. You can help light the candle, selfing and rain. The rest can get ready, stand in a row, then we can begin our puja. Okay, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, can still offer. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Put on the altar, then offer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Pass around. Pass around. Pass it around. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Today is the 11th January 2008, Thursday. So we will now get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja.
Arahaṃ sammasambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi.
Okay, you all can be seated. Then we turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Pānātipātā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi, ādinādānā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi, kāmesu micchācārā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi, Musāvādā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi, Sūrāmeraya majjhapamādathāna vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa dittena dippena tamadansina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang, puja bacana mutamang, vanna ganda guno petang, etang kesuma santatin, pujayami monindasa, siri pada sarorohe, Pujemi Buddhaṃ kasumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokhaṃ pupaṃ milayati yatā idaṃ me kāyo tatā yati vināsa bhāvaṃ ādivāse tuno vante Pāniyaṃ parikāpitaṃ ānukampaṃ upādāya patigaṃ hātu mottamaṃ ādivāse tu no vante pāle parikāpitaṃ ānukampaṃ upādāya patigaṃ hātu mottamaṃ ādivāse tu no bhante bhojanaṃ parikāpitaṃ ānukampaṃ upādāya patigaṃ hātu mottamaṃ. Okay, now let us chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance. In significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajama. Vatang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can visit that. Then we can have our meditation. Huh? We are off the light. Then you can have about half an hour meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, please proceed. Then the rest, I hope you have already read up the book on meditation, so you know how to train your mind and develop the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner well-being. If you feel that your spiritual faculty is still not stable, you need to train, you train. You can use whatever skillful means that you are familiar with. If you don't have, then follow what we share with you in our book, the typical transcript book, the blue color, there are three copies, I think. Yeah. So you don't have, go back, look for it, read it up. Otherwise, you can ask from Brother Suyanomi Fong. Okay, now you just close your eye, relax body and mind completely. You need to use the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking. You go ahead. Then you combine your loving kindness to bring about inner well-being of body and mind, so that your mind state become beautiful, become positive. There is no more negativity of mind state. So these are all the various style of skillful means. Then after you finish the mind sweeping method, your mind should be very quiet, very peaceful and calm, because you just feel relaxed. Then you continuously feel and relax your entire body and mind, starting with the forehead, down to your feet, buttock. Then you reverse the whole process.
And in between, you radiate love and metta to yourself and to all beings. So these are very good training. Then after that, you need to stabilize the calm mind. The mind that has been trained is very quiet, very peaceful, just aware within. But if you don't stabilize it, this state can never last. You will revert back to your thinking, the heedless activity that you used to do in the midst of life. So what you need to do is after that, you need something to anchor this mind so that the peacefulness, the calmness, the inner awareness and mindfulness can be sustained. If you got your own object of meditation, you can use them, or whatever skillful means, like techniques and methods, you can use them to anchor your mind and develop the mindfulness that stabilize it. Otherwise, you follow what the Buddha recommend, you develop anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, train it. You maintain awareness in front of your nostril, feel the breathing. Then like the Buddha say, the moment you detect the breathing, breathing in, the mind is aware, means the mind and the breath move as one without thought. Then breathing out, the mind is aware, do the same. So continuously train yourself in mindfulness of the in and out breath. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Be patient. Just relax and silence everything. Then let the mindfulness continue. For those who already know how to meditate, then you maybe don't need the anapanasati anymore because your spiritual faculty is there. You already train. Your mind will become very quiet, very still, and just aware within. That is the silent mind, the meditative mind, pasati. You can use that to meditate. Silent everything, just stay there. Don't do anything. Sustain the mindfulness, the silence, the awareness. Then that mind will meditate. So for those who still need the anapanasati to develop the stability of mindfulness, you use it. You must always remember the four support. First support is relax. Relax body and mind. Relax into every mind state that arise. Whether you experience piti, sukha, or pasati, even continuous absorption or calmness, you just relax into it and allow the sati to continue. Then after a while, not long, this mindfulness will become very, very different, very, very stable, very, very refined and clear. Then when the mind is about to enter sati, all of your breathing, everything will slow down until like very, very subtle. No more breathing. Heartbeat also hardly perceivable. So when you reach this state, you just silence everything, relax and allow the silent mind to continue to be aware of whatever object of meditation that you have. Then after that, you want to, you can move it down to your heart area and just silence. Then allow this silent mind to feel and detect. You will be able to detect your own heartbeat or whatever vibration that arise around your heart area. It's just silent everything and relax into it. Allow the mind to be until it's very calm, very still and just aware. Okay, I'll let you continue with your meditation. Then those who need to train, you train. Then in about maybe 20 minutes time, I will ring the bell. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue for those 7 now. Slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Yeah? Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner mindfulness, and inner awareness that you have developed. These are the trained mind state that you need to use to meditate in the daily life. Mm-hmm. The real meditation, finally, is just daily mindfulness. You can be mindful in the midst of life throughout the day, constantly aware, ever mindful, to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. Then you develop what they call apamada, or heedfulness of mind. If you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So that is a very important understanding. The Buddha make it very clear. The apamada bhaga versus on mindfulness or awareness states very clearly the importance of apamada or heedfulness. Without heedfulness, you become heedless, you are as if dead. When you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. That's why the famous verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So when you are heedless, you don't stand a chance spiritually to develop the enlightenment, the meditation, the understanding. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chiyakawalesu atra gacchantu devata. Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang badanta namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa ittipeso bhagava arahang sammasambuddha vijjacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko Ehi pasiko opanaiko pacatang veditatbu vinohiti Supatipano bhagavato savakasango
Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, let us be respectful, Pajama. Padang Pajami. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, now you can be seated and just relax body and mind, then maintain some form of mindfulness and attentiveness. We will proceed with our second session. Second session is reporting on meditation, followed by whatever question you have. Yeah? Then we can discuss whatever that you need to understand. Okay. Anybody who wants to report their meditation and ask any question, you just raise your hand. Yeah? We are past. Oh, Wendy, you are here. Yes, I do. Anybody? Just raise your hand. You have the... Oh, again, you don't know where you put your record. Yeah. Oh, it's over here. Yeah. You should try to report your meditation. Huh? Then I can guide you along. Yeah. Or if you have any meditation question, you can ask.
Hello.
Yes, Eric. Yeah.
I don't know whether am I doing it right or not, because while meditation, I think a lot of things. I think about work. Think about.
Many okay, things. That's very good. You realize at least you are aware. You have a lot of thought. And this thought, you can now at least tell me that you think about work, that about all those that affect you. Whatever we call it, your unfinished business in life, things that you have gone through in your daily life, sometimes certain things that you give importance to without you knowing it, then the thought will come back. Especially if it's something important to you, you want to resolve it, but you haven't resolved it, like your work. This keep on coming, because these are called heedless thinking, habitual thinking, because in the day you already dwell with this, so your mind is cluttered with all this thought process. Sometimes you're under pressure, under stress, without knowing that this thing has gone into your subconscious, your memory, your fear, the subtle fear, sometimes intense fear, your phobia, where there are situations that make you worry. You have anxiety. Then sometimes you lack confidence, you have certain type of fear. Without you knowing it, it gone in already. Then things that disturb you, worry you, bother you, unfinished activity that you feel that is important that you have to do something about it or resolve it. So all this will linger on within the human being's brain. We call it the content of consciousness. From the brain, you input the content of consciousness. Because your brain, you have to understand what your brain is. I don't know whether I got space or not. I will rub off something not important. Okay, I rub off this one. Because we have some short notes that some Kayanamita has volunteered to prepare. From now onward, every class, Tuesday class, Thursday class, and the Sunday class, there is somebody who has volunteered to give me the short notes and the summary. Then I will edit it, like what we did in the Heart Sutta in the early days. So that all this sharing, you may not at the moment understand the depth of the Dhamma or the importance of all this sharing, because you just listen, then it's gone. Very few can have the ability to really understand, absorb, and take it in. For some, they have progressed. At the moment when I share, it's like very easy to understand, very clear. But the moment you are out, you cannot recall what that thing is. That's why you cannot put it into practice. You cannot develop the understanding. So this is what the human mind is all about. We talk about heedless thinking. All this heedless thinking start with memories. Memory is something you must familiar yourself with. What are memories? What are memories? What do you accumulate in your memories? Or you retain in your memory? What do you hold? The Buddha said, attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind is suffering. Can understand this part? Attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind is suffering. So this is the final summary of the First Noble Truth. And what is this five aggregate of form and mind? We have gone through it. The physical body is the first aspect as a human being. This form, you attach to it, what will happen to you? You think this body belongs to you. You worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Or even get itself into trouble, injuries, certain type of traumatic disease. Then you worry about it so much. So that fear of dying, the fear of getting sick, getting old, going through the nature's process, the reality of form and mind, not knowing that this body made of element, got no knowing, doesn't belong to you. That's why this physical body goes the way of nature, because element comes from nature. It's of the nature to arise during the condition. Then it's also of the nature to cease during the condition. So when we are born into this world, what happens is, this fetus, before it's born, get its nutrient from the mother. Then later on, the heartbeat develop, the life force come in and support. But it still got the placenta, get its nutrient. Then after the baby is born, the fetus develop and become a baby and born. What happened is, this baby also need nutrient, need food. So that's why it get it from the environment and all those things. Then this body grow. How did it grow? Do you know how you grow? How the baby grow? Because you have growth hormone. You understand? That hormone inside there make you grow. That's why there is a phase where you go through the growth process. like the plant, after you germinate, it slowly, slowly grow. So there is a growing phase. Then after you grow, you reach puberty, what happened? You don't grow anymore. Yeah. Then you start to? You start to? Age, isn't it? Every year, last time, you look forward to the new year because you 1 year older. You can go to secondary school. Initially go kindergarten, then go primary school, then you can go to secondary school. Oh, then you look forward to university, college education. Then you look forward to your career. You are at your peak, your prime. You do what you like in life. Huh? You have the means. Then what happens is, after 30, you cross the growth age already. What happens? You start to plateau off, then decay. Then you start to become not as fit as before. So then the growth hormone no more. You will degenerate, grow old, then finally get sick, die. That is the phase. Yeah. So this body, when you attach, you suffer. That's why the Buddha said attachment to the physical form is dukkha, suffering. Then the second aspect of form is the mental form. The mental form are the external form that you bring into the memory, you bring into your brain. And that is the worst form. So, two aspects of form. Memory are your accumulation of experiences. Can I agree with this definition or not? Get who know, know. Accumulation of experiences, good or bad. So all this you accumulate inside. And what are these experiences? We talk about the bad one, the negative one first. What do you accumulate? Your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness. I don't know why human being is so foolish. All the good things, they seldom remember or accumulate. But all the fearful things, which we call the scars of memory, this one stay with you very long. You know a scars of memory? You know this one is like this one? Whatever experience that you go through that hurt you, cause you tremendous fear, phobia, leave behind like a wound, scar within your memory. So, all this you experience, good and bad, you accumulate. Then you learn from school. What do you learn? They teach you things, perceive. This one is a clock, this one is a whiteboard. Then you learn the language. Then you learn to perceive art. Television, don't have Wi-Fi or this thing. So everything you perceive through memory, you know, is because of knowledge, because of memory. That's why memory is accumulation of experiences and perception. Through memory, you perceive. So perception is sanya, one of your aggregate of mind. So this sanya is very powerful. So the Buddha said, if you attach, deludedly attach to thing that you perceive, suffering arise. True or not? Very easy to give example. This is living Dhamma that you can relate to life. Not the theory one. Vedana, sanyas. So they always chant the Pali's first. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. But they cannot explain what these are most of the time. They can use the word, tell you it's perception. But what is perception? When you perceive something through memory, means that external object receives a name, a concept, a label that you have given it. And that is not the truth, not the reality. That is conventional truth. That is the brain, the memory labeling it through consciousness. And the Buddha said, if you attach to every perception, you will suffer. Take for example, when you perceive your loved one, you have attachment, you have craving, clinging, because you think your loved one belongs to you, you own them. Especially your children, if you are married, or your parents, your spouse. Then sometimes your brothers and sisters, you got good relationship with them. Then sometimes your good friend, your colleague. Then people whom you like, you have affection for. So all this, the moment through perception you perceive them, then you create this attachment without you knowing it. So attachment to a lot of things give rise to suffering. When you attach to your wealth, your property, do you have problem? You have problem, isn't it? You don't want to lose it, isn't it? Then when you have problem with your property, how? If let's say you forgot to pay assessment rent. Then after a few years, they send notice to you, you forget about it. You say, Choy Dong Nong, you don't want to pay. Then what happened? They invoke the law. They auction. After the auction, you panic, you go and see them, you discuss, then they say, see you in court. So, unnecessary problem. Like my teacher used to say, when you don't own anything, you are the most happy man in the world. When you own things, you got problem. Where you worry about the thing that you own. You think you own it. Deludedly think you can own things. Like the Buddha say, only the foolish lament. For that very body don't belong to him. So these are the things that you have to slowly, through life, develop the understanding of how you function as a human being. How through memory, you recall your scars of memory, your fear, your phobia, your whatever habitual thinking. Then for the case of Eric, it's a very good meditative understanding based on what he reports. And this is what is happening to almost everybody who start meditation, because you don't have the spiritual faculty, especially mindfulness, sati. So without this five spiritual faculty, the Buddha say, what happened is the mental hindrance will arise. And what are these mental hindrance? Your sensual desire, your ill will, your like and dislike, your attachment to your consciousness, to what you experience in your daily life. Like just like I explained, your unresolved business, your work, your career. Then sometimes your relationship with somebody. Then sometimes even you go and have lunch or buy something. Then some misunderstanding happen. Or sometimes you forgot to pay. Then you are being caught. Hey, you haven't paid. And you know what happened? Even though very small thing, well, you don't know how to resolve it then. You will carry it back to your office. You're just now, why I'm so stupid. I should have told him off. Not to say I don't want to pay you. I just want to go to the toilet. See, you try to justify yourself. Then all this become your heedless thinking. Do you know that? Then sometimes you want to like argue back because the incident over, you feel that you have been very stupid during that time. Yeah, you don't know how to act. Then you try to plan and think, then reflect then how you should approach this situation, or maybe go back and tell the fellow off or get yourself a fair deal. Then sometimes the worst is you remember you pay him the $20 note for a bowl of noodle, which is $6.50. Then he changed you back $3.50. What are you going to do? You got very angry. But you don't know how to resolve it. Hey, Losai, not pay someone. At least you speak like that, not so bad. You get angry. You're trying to cheat me. Then the fellow will tell you all. Then he can speak louder than you. So end up a lot of argument. And I tell you, because of that $10 difference, you become miserable. What you should do is before you pay him, you tell him, I'm giving you 20 ringgit. So the change should be 13.50. But if you trust people, normally these people seldom make mistake, but sometimes they do make mistake. And sometimes purposely they make mistake. You have to be careful. Then there was one incident which I always relate. I think some of you may recall. I think about 20 years ago, I went into one medical shop. I bought something. Then I pay him 50 ringgit. Then he gave me some change. Then because I was very good in maths and I very mindful, immediately I saw the thing. I knew he overpaid me by 10 ringgit. So I count in front of him, I count. Then I say, I think you make a mistake. I just say like that, you know. I say, I think you make a mistake. Wow, he got very unhappy already. He thought I want to ask for more money, you know. He seldom make mistake one, he said. I say, no. I think you overpay me by 10 ringgit. He looked at me, disbelief. Then I show it to him, then I return him the 10 ringgit. He looked at me, then he talked to his colleague. He said, you got such people in this world. Extra 10 ringgit, and tell you and give it back to you. That's why he was very surprised. I can tell you that thought will linger in his brain and his mind, and he will talk about it for very long. That is how habitual thinking come about. Finish means finish. But you got condition to share, and so on. But don't go and hold it and hold there, like busy holding on to it. And at least these are good experiences, though. The bad experience, you're worse, I tell you. Your mental state is very negative, and you keep on creating this throughout the day. Because when you see something also, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, you're stirring all your mind, your reaction. But you are not sensitive, you don't have mindfulness, you cannot see all this. That's why the Buddha say, without mindfulness, when you are not heedful, you think a lot, you become heedless. You continuously thinking. You are a creature of thought. And what is thought? Thought is response to memory. So this one very important. Thought is response to memory. So if you accumulate through memory without understanding, that's how you become heedless. And when you accumulate all these kinds of memory, your perception, your conditioning, everything, your views, your opinion, your tradition, your belief system, all these experiences mold your character and make you what you are. And when every moment of perception, whether through seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, you attach, cling, whether positive or negative, which is sensual desire, you will. You develop mental hindrance. And you do it very often, which human beings do very often. It becomes habitual. That's how you become heedless. Habitual thinking makes you heedless. It's a conditioning. You are so used to that type of habitual reaction to thinking. That's why you lack mindfulness, you lack heedfulness, you lack sensitivity. You cannot feel clearly within your heart, within your mind. When you have mindfulness, when you are very, very sensitive, the slightest movement of your mental state, you will know. The slightest, before it even stir, you will know. Then your reaction from your brain, your memory, you will know. Then when you straighten your view and understand that these are all from memory due to attachment, due to craving, due to clinging, then you understand the importance of training your mind to be mindful, to be aware, to be within the moment, so that it does not lash on, grasp, cling, hold. And to do that, you must have wisdom. You must understand that they are not real. They are impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising. And this one needs meditation to see it clearly. And to meditate, you need the silent mind. You need to train this heedless thinking mind and make it peaceful, calm, quiet, aware within. But not forcing it, suppressing it, controlling it, or using concentration, samatha, you cannot suppress, control, and fix the mind. Means you focus, concentrate, keep it in the energy field. We call it a conditioned state of mind. That one, that type of samadhi or samatha is no use. It can only suppress all this from arising, but it cannot root it out because it don't have wisdom. That's why no way if you use energy field or thought base, very concentrated mind to deal with defilements. Defilement comes from delusion, like that day we shared. If you don't straighten your view and root out delusion, defilement will always be there. That's why they don't understand. They say got many layers, very deep, very deep, very deep. Why? Because you don't have wisdom to root it out. That's why after you overcome one layer, there's another layer. You overcome another layer, there's another layer. To them, they think defilement is slowly, one by one, you have to root it out. You cannot do meditation that way. Because the problem is not with defilement. Like the Buddha said, the mental hindrance, they are not a problem. They are there because you lack the spiritual faculty. So similarly, defilements are there because you lack wisdom. You have a lot of wrong view. You didn't straighten your view. You don't have right view. You don't understand things. That's why you react and you stop. So this memory, if you don't know how to use it, you will get into trouble. Like I explained last time. Huh? What is a computer? You got a CPU, a central processing unit. Then you got memory chip inside there. Do you know that they are like your brain? You got two types of chip in there. One is called ROM. The other one? RAM. Get who know. What is ROM? Read only memory. Means can read only. You cannot access it. One. It's a programming. It is a ROM for you to do things. Whereas random access memory are memories. You can access them when you need them. That's why computer, no problem. They got no emotion. One. They will execute your instructions. You program it to execute this way, it will just do. It got no emotion, no feeling. That's why computer don't make mistake. But you, different. You got the aggregate of feeling, emotion, Vedana and Sankara. So that one make you human. But that one also cause you suffering. Do you know that? Yeah? That's why the Buddha said the dependent origination, how you function as a human being. He said, when feeling arise without wisdom, you will condition craving. That is what emotion is all about. Craving is like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant sense experience. So this is what memory is all about when you don't understand. Like the computer, if you keep them in the memory, you need only you access it, then you got no problem with that. But you, human being, all your scars of memory and whatever you perceive, you keep on holding on to it, you realize or not? Especially your problem. Your problems. Could be health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, or career problem, and all of your life problem. You keep on worrying about it. The good thing, you never worry, you know, because there's nothing to worry. So. But fearful thing, bad thing, that can give rise to potential situation and problem, you worry a lot. And behind worry is intense fear. If you don't have fear, listen, if you don't have fear, there is no worry. You agree or not? NG will know. Fear of the unknown. Last week, she said. Because behind everything that make you fearful, make you worry, is fear. Fear of losing your job. Agree or not? Intense fear. But that fear translates into worry, anxiety. Sometimes panic attack without you realizing it. Then fear of people knowing your secret, then fear of dying, because you don't know what death is all about. Fear of losing your loved ones. Then fear of getting old, getting sick, disease. Then fear of not able to be successful in life. Then fear of not able to provide for your own family, your child's education and all those things. Then all this can trigger off a lot of fear. Then you develop remorse. You blame yourself for not able to provide for all this. Then sometimes you create negativity of thought, the tendency for suicidal thought to arise. Because you face so much problem, situation that you cannot resolve. And there is nothing in this world that you cannot resolve. Because life is just life. If you understand life, then you realize whatever happens is the reality. You just have to work and resolve it. Work towards it, understand it, and move. Don't go and project your thought like last week. We put here, there are two ways to deal with problem, to overcome your problem, that trigger of fear and other things. The first very common way which most human beings do is react, panic, worry about the problem. Then the mind becomes restless, fearful, unhappy and miserable. That's what suffering is all about. And this is the number two. Where you attach to this problem. And the problem comes from where? From your perception. From your projection of thought. This is how you cling. Things that you give meaning. You hold on to, you worry about. And all these are related to the first noble truth reality. So the meditation teaches you to act differently. You have to act according to wisdom. That's why here, you see up here, the note until now not removed. Acting according to memory up there is not acting at all. What are memory? Accumulation of experiences. Your scars of memory. Your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your whatever accumulated experiences, sometimes your selfishness, your cruelty, your whatever mind state you accumulate. So when you act according to memory, it means you act according to your fear, your worry, your conditioning, your whatever selfishness, phobia. And all these are negative mind state. And that is not acting at all. Because this is true delusion, evil roots. How can you act with all this? And these are memories that you are not supposed to hold on. Do you understand? Krishnamurti say our brain, our memory, is for us to remember important things, useful things, but not to accumulate all the psychological memory. You know what is psychological memory, right? You go and see psychiatrist means what? Mental problem. So all the mental negativity or your scars of memory, all these things, you're not supposed to accumulate them. Then why do you accumulate them? Why do you remember them so strongly? Like people abuse you, cheated you, or whatever phobia that you go through in life. Could be child abuse, sexual harassment, or being raped, or being robbed, or snatch thieves, your thing. There are certain very, very traumatic experience in life. So all this, the memory lashes on. And it will be deep inside there, even in the subconscious. That's why sometimes when they sleep, they have this nightmare keep on coming to haunt them. And this is what memory is all about. Because you hold and cling and grasp and accumulate them through fear, through intense phobia, because you don't understand. Then you may try to justify. Pretty everybody also do that, not only me. So? Is that a solution? The Buddha also say, the whole world also heedless,
before they know the Dhamma, they also have fear and suffering. But how come after they learn the Dhamma, they realize the truth, they know that all these are not real, then their mind become different. They don't hold anymore. Their mind become very quiet, very still, just aware. And through wisdom, it know what all this is all about, the five aggregates. What attachment, what craving, what clinging, what wrong view is all about. And it know their universal characteristics. They are not real, not what you think, impermanent. Lead to suffering, non-self, empty, not so real. Then why do you worry about it? How come thought has such power to make you so miserable, so full of fear and phobia? And all this comes from thought, isn't it? Because thought is respond to memory. That's why you get into trouble. You don't know how to act. So how should you act? The Buddha say, you have to act with understanding or wisdom. And this is true action. So acting according to understanding or wisdom is true action. Means I don't use memory anymore. I use my true mind to investigate, to examine things, to observe who am I, what am I, how I function as a human being, what are the universal laws that governs life and existence. Then the Buddha told me it's karma. I check, I investigate. If I act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow me. Is this the truth? Dhammapada was what? You go and investigate, check, examine, observe how your mind works. Then you will come to know the Buddha is correct. Then like the Buddha say, there is the opposite, verse 2. If you act, speak, and think with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. Check it out. Investigate upon it. Observe how you function and how you live your life. If you are heedful, mindful, sensitive, you don't have all this negativity of thought, the evil roots, you realize you are very peaceful, very calm. Your mind is very different. Because by doing that, you avoid all evil to good. You take care of karma. And karma take care of your life. That's how you have the good life. Then to act according to wisdom is you act according to understanding. You don't act out of memory, fear, worry, anxiety. You don't go and project your thought like what you most people do. You don't react to problem, panic and worry about problem. But all this will not help you. True or not? No amount of fear and worry will help you. Always remember. Then what must you do? You must have right view, wisdom. To accept the reality of the moment. Means whatever happened in life, that is the reality. Can you accept that? You know what is reality or not? The way things are, that is the reality. Means condition like that, things will be like that. True or not? This is nature's law. Do you understand? So when condition is set, things will become like that. You don't go and blame people, remorse, get angry and react. No use. You have to accept the reality first. Accepting that reality doesn't mean you agree with what that person do. You understand not? Otherwise, you will give me an example. No? Brother Theo, that guy abused me, scolded me, and did all these funny things to me. You mean I have to accept him for what he is? Yeah? And let him whack? That is not understanding. Understand? Accept them for what they are means you know deluded people do deluded things. Understand? Not? Angry people, violent people do violent things. So what must you do? You don't go and associate yourself with this type of people. Understand? Not? That's why you make aspiration through merit. What do you make? Imina punyang kamina. Mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu. Yawan imanapatiya. So you say, by the power of this merit, punya is merit. Imina punyang kamina. May it arise the causes and conditions for me to avoid the foolish, the heedless, these violent people, heedless people, deluded people.
and only meets up with the wise so that Nirvana can be realized sooner as possible. You make aspiration, but you don't know what this aspiration is. You don't even know who are the evil and the heedless. Yes, you associate with the wrong one. You make the aspiration, and yet you don't know the why. And you don't know how to arise a condition for you to fulfill this aspiration. So life is very simple. When I accept him for what he is, I stay calm. I stay peaceful. I don't argue. I don't make him more angry. I don't resist and create all the foolish, wrong action and wrong speech. Then I have right thought. I send love and metta. Maybe when he was angry and emotional, he cannot feel your metta because your metta not trained, not stable, not strong. You only like parrot me, you'll be well and happy. Oh. Sometimes he can't hear you, he think you scold him or say negative thing, or you get yourself into more trouble. That's why silence is golden. And that's why just keep quiet and apologize. I'm very sorry. If I have done anything wrong, I really like to seek your forgiveness. I think it's my mistake. Then you get yourself out of the situation first. Understand? Why you want to be right? Why you want to argue yourself out of the situation? When he is violent, he is not going to listen to you. He is not going to talk sense with you. Always remember that. So life is simple. When you understand, confront reality, accept, then do what you have to do. Then weigh your option. Then just like sometimes wise people say this word, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. Like Jesus, when people crucify him, he say, forgive all these people. Yeah, they don't know what they are doing. God coming, or they don't know. So if you have this type of understanding, you can avoid a lot of unnecessary problem in life. So all this problem in life will not be a problem when you don't perceive it with negativity and fear. You don't react, stir your mind and project your thought. So you should act with wisdom, which is don't react, don't panic and project your thought to arise the fear and all those things. Then you must act with right view or wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path have three right view in front. Right view with regards to law, karma, means you always remember whatever happened, like the Buddha say, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So very likely, it is due to past karma. You must have abused people, whacked people, and do all these funny things to people in the past. Now got condition, you become the victim. So fair or not? Fair, isn't it? You reap what you sow, isn't it? So when you understand this, you can have two very important understanding. If I need to apologize later, I apologize. Not to him, to all beings from the distant past until now. Then vow not to repeat all this. Then sincerely hope this sincere request for forgiveness can be accepted by all. Then you wish them well-being and happiness. You already did love and metta. That one come back only to understand. Then after that, determine from now onward, don't create negativity or karma anymore. Yeah, following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and purify your mind. To avoid all evil, keep your precepts. Your precepts are things that if you violate the precept, you commit evil. That's why you take care of precept, you abide by your precept, you will not commit evil. What is precept? Abstain from killing, stealing, deceiving people, committing sexual misconduct, telling lies, creating harsh speech, negative speech, backbite, fearful speech. Then of course there is a frivolous speech. Then avoid intoxicant. Liquor, drug, and alcohol. Then whatever that make your consciousness low, then avoid mixing with people who are of low morality that leads to downfall. So if you can avoid all this, you avoid evil. Then you take care of your karma. Then you have to cultivate
the other Noble Eightfold Path Factor. From right view, you know there is karmic behind. You determine to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, that's how you keep your precept. Then you cultivate the four right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has arisen. The right effort to prevent all this wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action from arising. Then you cultivate the right thought to arise, the good mental state, your virtue, your kindness, your honesty, your sincerity, your contentment, your gratitude. All this, your appreciative value, how you appreciate life, how you cherish life, and how you cherish what you have been given by your parents, your loved one, by nature, by society, by your friend, colleague. So all these are virtue that you need to cultivate. If it's still not in you, you should cultivate them. All the pleasant, kind and good speeches, talk to people nicely, develop more and more right speech, have gratitude, thank people. Yeah? Then say kind words, good words, pleasant words. Then speak the correct speech. Yeah? Means gentle, pleasant and good speeches that bring about harmony, understanding, good relationship, joy, happiness. Don't go and speak negatively that hurt people's feelings and create emotion, not only in yourself, in others too. When you get angry and hit out, you hurt people and you yourself also stress out. And these are evil, will make you evil. Karma wise, you have to pay your reward. So in future, you will get it back from people. You do it to your children, in future, your children will do it back to you. That is what it is. Because when you do it to your children, you don't know. Then in future, you have parents who will do back the same thing to you. That is karma. So don't play. So all this is understanding. When you understand, you take care of karma, avoid all evil, do good. Then the last part is very important. The Buddha said, if you take care of karma, you may have good life, all the good karmic inheritance, the wealth, everything. But there is another part of life that can still make you miserable, despite your wealth, your materialistic success in life. You have to confront a lot of realities in life. The first noble truth reality. Some of these noble truth reality, money cannot buy. In fact, most of them money cannot buy. These are delusions that condition you to attach, cling and grasp, and condition your suffering. You attach and cling to your five aggregate of form and mind. So birth, old age, sickness and death, the first four reality, because of this body, you attach, you cling, you will suffer. Because you worry about this body getting old, getting sick and dying. Then your newborn baby, so you worry if anything were to happen to them. Then of course relationship failure, separation and all those things. Separation can happen in many ways. We have control. Then when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, your expectations in life are not met, then when you are with people whom you don't like, or who harass you, put fear in you, like child abuse, all those things, then certain type of bosses, not easy to please, not easy to work with. Then you can also meet up with bullies, loan shark, gangster, and all those things. These are people who are not easy to be with. And sometimes your own house also have problem because you stay your in-law, you will have problem, especially mother-in-law. Then sometimes because of step-parents, you also have step-parents who abuse you and do other things to you. So these are the realities. So the Buddha summarized all this. When you attach and cling to the five aggregate of form and mind, suffering is the result. So when you attach to feeling, also same, you suffer. Because you attach to pleasant, good feeling, unpleasant feeling, you become unhappy, miserable. Even meditation, you complain, pain, numbness, itchiness. Then like his case, memory, the thought, think a lot, you realize there's a lot. Oh, I haven't really answered you directly. I want to share the Dhamma, but now I answer you directly. So when you sit and meditate, when you observe all this thought coming, yeah, what must you do? What must you do? You haven't read the blue book we give you. Oh, you must start reading it a bit. You have to understand. The Buddha say you are in this state is because you didn't train your mind. Your mind has a lot of mental hindrance. The five mental hindrance. Where is the sheet? That's the end. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Inside there. Yeah. Let's take this up. Mental hindrance. Yeah. So the Buddha said, when you have this five, these are called mental hindrance, where it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. You cannot be aware, you cannot be mindful, your mind cannot be peaceful because you have this hindrance. It will hinder you from becoming peaceful. So the first two just now I explained already. Sensual desire and ill will means your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, the way you react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Well, throughout the day you do that. So every time you see something you don't like, you react. Unhappy feeling. Actually went in already. Then when you experience certain type of good moment, then there is this craving, sensual desire. You want it to last longer. Or you want to buy it. Or you want it repeated for you. So these are both mental hindrance. So the Buddha said these are mental hindrances because when you are involved in these two states of duality, it's a pair, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. What will happen to you? Your mind is no longer aware, isn't it? Your mind is lost in thought, isn't it? Preoccupied with the sense experience, isn't it? Then this sense experience, like and dislike, come from your thought, your thinking, your views and opinion of things, because you are conditioned into liking certain things and disliking certain things. So it, throughout the day, whatever you see, hear, smell, taste, tactile feel, and think also, you react this way, what will happen? This will become habitual, isn't it? So mental hindrance keep on arising in you. If throughout the day you have mental hindrance, how can you have peace? True or not? But it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot meditate. It will keep on arriving. Because these are habitual tendencies that you develop. That's why it keep on coming up. It keep on reminding you. It's from memory. Thought is respond to memory. All the things that you accumulate in your memory, unfinished business, keep on coming out as thought. Where thought is respond to memory. You don't keep them as memory and hold them, it will not come out. So like just now we went through, all the psychological fear, your scars of memory, all, if it's not in the memory, it won't come out. Then what do you store? Yeah? Your good moment, your happy one. That one becomes sensual desire also. Also gone. And that's all. It develops craving. Especially you go and think of lustful thought. Oh, it makes you more and more lustful. Then you think of certain things that also make you like crave for it and all those things. So what you're supposed to remember is your name. Understand? How you sign your checkbook, where you stay. And that one is useful information. Understand? Then all the right thought, right speech, right action. That's why thought depends on user. If the user has wisdom without mental hindrance, it becomes right thought. Then it's useful. Then right thought doesn't create fear, worry, anxiety. Understand? That one belongs to wrong thought. So the Buddha said, if you think the wrong thought, it will condition your mental hindrance. It will condition your evil roots. So whatever thought that lead to sensual desire, selfishness, ill will, mental negativity, violence, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, all these are wrong thought.
These are things that are unfit for attention, like your worry, your phobia, yeah? Your reaction to think, your panic, and how you project your thought. All these are wrong way of thinking. This create wrong thought. That's why you have so much of this in your memory. Yeah, you saw how you cheat people also, and how people cheat you, deceive you. So, out of that memory, you create your own defense mechanism. Understand not? Your own fear, your own insecurity. You feel very insecure. This guy don't know what up to what. Whether he will cheat me or do all those things to me, lie to me again. Oh. Then sometimes you suspect your own spouse. Oh, worse still. You also get angry with your children when they lie to you and do all those nonsense, bring back problems to you. So all these are called attachment, craving, clinging, grasping. And this lead to wrong thought. Yeah, it make you angry, make you unhappy. So what is right thought? Yeah? Thought that bring about love, compassion, understanding, wisdom. So the Buddha say, there are things that are fit for attention in the Sabbasavaka Sutta, is it? And there are things that are unfit for attention. So if it's unfit for attention, means it is the wrong thought. But the Buddha say, when you go and reflect or think or dwell into the thinking situation, situation where it will condition your evil roots that are still not in you from arising, like your lust, your sensual desire, your greed, your craving, your anger, your fear, your delusion, and all those things. And when you dwell on those thoughts, this one become more and more. That's why you have to have mindfulness to see. Then you know it's wrong thought. You must stop it. Because it leads to suffering, leads to evil mind state. It leads to wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong thought process. So this is the best way to check. That's why you must have mindfulness. Then the Buddha said, what are the things that are fit for attention that you must pay attention to? The Buddha mentioned very clearly the Four Noble Truths. You must reflect on them, contemplate on them through the three turning. The Noble Truth of suffering. What constitutes suffering? So that you wake up. So that you don't have this delusion to attach, to cling. Because you say, it is craving that is the cause of suffering. Craving born of self-delusion, attachment, clinging, grasping. And self-delusion is a kind of deity where you think you are real, the five aggregates form a mind. You think they belong to you. You think feeling is you. This body belongs to you. Perception is you. All of your mental activity and thinking, mental state, they are what you are. So you attach to all this, you get into trouble. Then the consciousness part is the worst. Every moment of consciousness, when you see something, you attach, you get into trouble. You hear something, you attach, you get into trouble. Smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think also the same. So this is how you should act. Means things that are unfit for attention, don't pay attention. That's why deal with the things that are fit for attention. No, the most important aspect of life is the secret of life. The Four Noble Truths, which I rub off just now. So Four Noble Truths are the Dhamma that is fit for attention. When you dwell on the Four Noble Truths, what happens? Your spiritual faculty increase. Your wisdom and understanding increase. You can straighten your view. You become a better person. There is no more fear. You got the spiritual faculty. Faith is there. Then when you see the importance of this teaching, not only faith arise, the spiritual faculty of virya, spiritual zeal will also arise. Then mindfulness, you will develop it. Because this sadha and virya, faith, confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, and the spiritual zeal will move you to cultivate the mind, train the mind to have mindfulness. Then you stabilize it to become samadhi. Which is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind, in a free state, not in a conditioned state. Then with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are through investigation, observation, and through understanding.
then you develop the wisdom, which is the last spiritual faculty. Then this silent mind, with sati and samadhi, no thought, can also insight into phenomena and awaken to the universal characteristic. That's why the trained mind become very, very different. So when you develop the spiritual faculty, this five mental hindrance cease by itself. So you don't have to fight all these mental hindrance. It's just like meditation. You don't go and fight the defilement. You don't go and try to suppress it, control it, or do away with it. That is not the real meditation, because the source of defilement is delusion. So work on the solution, which is wisdom, to root out delusion. When there is right view, your mind does not stir. All this ceases to be. The defilement also ceases to be. Because defilement comes from the thought, the mind. The mind, through memory, create this word, defilement. It comes about because you think this is negative, evil. All of your mental negativity and evil roots, they are your defilement, you see. So you want the positive mind state, wholesome mind, wholesome thought. This one, at the thought level, it will arise, because this is duality. So the Buddha said, imastin sati idang hoti. He said, when this arise, that will arise. When you create wholesomeness, whatever that is not good become bad. True or not? Unwholesome. So when you create through thought, good and bad, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, or defilement, then you want to remove one side. They come in pair, you know? Because when you remove one side, the other side will not end. Understand? Because you created that positive, negative will always be there. Because they come in pair. So you cannot root them out this way. The only way to root it out is, the Buddha already explained, imastin asati, then idang arhoti. What is the meaning? When this does not arise, that also does not arise. So why must you go and suppress, control, and meditate to free your mind from defilement? No. You just silence your mind to observe mindfully, to develop the wisdom and understanding and root out delusion. Then both these created by mind cease to be. Understand? When this ceases, means when you don't give meaning to right and wrong, good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, means you have wisdom. Wisdom means what? Means you understand. Then, like I just tell you, there is no such thing as right and wrong, good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome. You sure don't agree on. Because the whole world is full of this. True or not? Yeah. But why did I say that? Because they are human convention, understand or not? Right, according to who? To your views and opinion. Because yours, what they call model or system of right and wrong, is peculiar to your conditioning, your tradition, your belief system. To you, it's right, understand or not? To another guy with another religion, another tradition, another race, another maybe understanding of their culture, what you say is right is wrong. So these are not absolute truth. These are conventional truth, relative truth. So when you understand that these are not absolute truth, these are conventional truth created by thought to divide and cause confusion and suffering and misery, then you can stand above it. Stand above it means what? According to the Buddha, see things as they are. When you see things as they are without the word, the concept, then what happened? There is no naming, is there? No labeling, is there? No good, no bad, is there? Thing is just the way it is there? True or not? So when thing is just the way it is, I can act. I got no more problem. I got no more
to worry about defilement, understand not? Because I know this comes from the mind, created by the mind through delusion. Then like Hui Ning said, originally there was nothing. Then why you create? Because you create through your thought. And your thought come out with the idea of meditation. How to meditate? To remove defilement, to suppress, to control, to train the mind until it has samadhi so that you don't get yourself affected by it. This is not the way to free. The only way to free, the Buddha say, is the last spiritual faculty, wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot free. When you have wisdom, means what? You understand. When you understand, you don't hold, you don't cling, you don't attach. Is there a need to let go? Is there a need to practice letting go? No need, is there? The moment you understand, you will not hold. Well, this lead to suffering. These are evil root. These are wrong thought. The universal characteristic become very clear. Anger is not you. Fear is not you. The five aggregate of form and mind is not you. You develop wisdom. Like just now before the class, I sent out one video in Mandarin. One. That was very good. You didn't receive?
I received,
cannot understand. Oh, cannot understand. I asked the Mandarin educator, Mi Feng, to explain to you others. It's a very good story. He said, there is one lady who worked very hard and raised the children. Then they become educated, successful, went to the United States. They had their career, everything. And you know what happened? The mother thought, after some time, maybe check with them when are they coming back and all those things. And you know how the children think about. Because the mother not educated, not properly dressed. And he wrote to the children, say he want to visit them. And you know what the children did? They decide to send her a check. They say, we have calculated how much you spend on us. All in 20,000 US. Now I give you a 30,000 US dollar, what they call check or what, bank draft. So please don't come over. If you are the mother, how will you do? How will you react? Your thought will start in there. What type of children this is? But luckily the mother didn't do that. The mother went to, I think it's Ciji, you are not wrong. Go and study Dhamma. She had four. Then after that, after a few months, developed the wisdom, she go and cash the bank draft, convert to Taiwan money, go around the world and travel. Then he wrote a very beautiful letter back to the children. He said, I know you don't want to see me. You don't want me to disturb you. Help me law saw, understand? We are not educated, not properly dressed, ill manner and all those things. He said, I would like to thank you for your that final message to me with the bank draft. He said, I already cash, convert to Thai dollar money, Taiwan money. Then I already go around the world. I am now very happy, very peaceful. Because your statement forced me to go to the temple to learn Dhamma. Then I realized the foolishness of attachment, clinging to you all, creating the wrong thought that make me miserable, that like how I spend and my life saving and my sacrifice on the children, hoping for them to repay me. He said, all this is karmic. This is what I have done to my children in the past. And now my children, the other way around. He said, my children do it back to me. This is what I did to my parents last time. He said, now my children did it back to me. Fair. Understand? This is karma. So if I were to look at the present situation with delusion, if I attach and get angry, I go and think all the wrong thought, I become miserable. I don't even have the mood to spend that money and go around the world. I don't even have the condition to go to the Dhamma. So he said, it's a blessing in disguise that your this final bank draft and letter came. It was good timing, blessing in disguise. Then he said, I understand now what the Buddha meant by do not attach, do not cling. Everything is empty, not so real. We only need to take care of karma, take care of our life, and live life happily. See? So simple. From a miserable condition, he reversed it. The whole content, you go and listen. Well, my Mandarin also no good, but roughly I think it's like that. It's so beautiful, isn't it? Rather than lamenting, oh, how can my children do this to me, then complain to your neighbor, complain to everybody you know, your office, and all those things. And are you happy? You become miserable, isn't it? Because you got a lot of hatred after that, anger. Because you cannot get what you want. Your expectation in life is not met. You think by sacrificing for them, paying with all your life saving, your hard work and all those things, hope to see them having good life and repay you, understand you, come back and say, Mom, you are the greatest mom. But all this never come. So how? It's karma. You cannot blame anybody. The Buddha already said you are born of your karma, heir to your karma condition is supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of karma. So if your karma plays such a great role in your life, you must take care of karma. That's why you must follow the advice of the Buddha. Develop all this understanding to purify the mind, to develop the wisdom, then to avoid all evil, do good. To avoid evil, keep your precept. Then arise a four right effort to cultivate goodness. Then develop wisdom, right view, right understanding. Then all this understanding will allow you to have the wisdom to act. You will act according to wisdom, no more from memory, no more from your accumulated fears, scars of memory, phobia, wrong view, conditioning, tradition, belief system, no more. All this, you can root it out. You know they are not real. They lead to karmic negativity. They are wrong thought. They are evil, root of all evil. So all this, through understanding, you will understand. Then when you insight into phenomena, you see the impermanent universal characteristic of all phenomena, including your physical body and mind. Every aggregate is like that. They are impermanent. They arise and they pass away. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. So how can it be you? If it's you, when feeling arise and pass away, you should die, but you never die. Perception arise and pass away, you never die. Mental state arise and pass away, you never die. Consciousness arise and pass away, you never die. Then who are you? What are you? If they are not you, how did it arise in you? All this you can understand through meditation, when you silence your mind, when you are just aware that nature is different. That's why you read the short note. Now the short note gives you all the important summary and short note that I mentioned in each and every of this talk. So this short note is going to make a lot of difference to your understanding. It's just like the Heart Sutta short note. If we didn't start at that time, that book don't come out. It's very difficult for you to understand all this. Very, very difficult. Okay? So that part I already answered you, because you lack all this. So you need to develop the spiritual faculty, overcome this fellow. Then to overcome this fellow before the spiritual faculty is there, you go and read the blue book. The mind sweeping method, metta, to decondition your heedless thinking, to bring about inner peace, inner well being. So these are the first two things that can bring you back to the spiritual faculty. Inner peace, inner well being. When you have this mind state, there is clarity, then you can be aware. Where you don't think anymore, you feel relaxed. When you are relaxed, there is no stress. All your heedless thinking, the habitual thinking, they will be deconditioned. Because now you don't think like before. So if you do the mind sweeping method, let's say for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you will realize the peace within. Then all these thoughts don't come. But the moment you stop, it will slowly, slowly creep in again. You will know. That's why after that, I ask you to use anapanasati to anchor your mindfulness so that it won't come back. The mental hindrance won't come back. Because the mind sweeping method
to decondition your heedless thinking and the loving kindness metta is just a temporary solution. Understand? To temporarily keep this at bay so that you can have a chance to train it. And then you do anapanasati, mindfulness or in and out breath. When you are mindful, you cannot think. You cannot think. That's why this mindfulness is very good. Every time the mind wander off, bring it back. Then develop mindfulness. Then relax it. Until you become very quiet, very still. Until you experience all of the mind states. The beautiful mind state of meditation. The relaxed state. The inner peace. The inner calmness. The clarity of mind. Then the stillness of mind. The tranquility of mind. The silent mind. That is your true mind. Then you realize, without thought, you are so peaceful. Understand? When you have thought, you become restless. See? This one. You become restless. Mind become restless. Thank you. So this is what meditation is all about. When you understand your mind, how it functions, how you can train the heedless thinking mind, then you can develop understanding and become beautiful. And always remember, you got two minds. The thinking mind, the mundane mind, the worldly mind, or the conditionalizing mind, they are always there to disturb you when you don't train your mind to develop the wisdom, the understanding, the spiritual faculties. So this mind is very active in your life. In the normal human being's life who are not enlightened, they think a lot. Their mind is heedless. Most of the time, you are never mindful, especially in the midst of life. Maybe in the retreat, you got some slight chance of having more peace, more calmness, but you still think, maybe not so much. But that one, if you go for retreat and you don't know what you are doing, then it is the environment and the condition that make you calm and peaceful. After that, you come out, you go back to square one. The heedless thinking will come back. The spiritual faculty will be gone. Then all of the mental hindrance will come back. That's why you won't progress. You will not stand a chance. Because if in the retreat, you cannot be mindful, ever mindful with the stability of mind, when you come back to society, you don't stand a chance. That's why I always advise cultivator to have a good religious routine throughout the day. Morning, night, and afternoon, you do your whatever meditation, maybe loving kindness meditation. Then you do like your usual puja and all those things, pre and post. Then after that, daily mindfulness to connect all these things up. If you don't have the daily mindfulness developed, you can't. Then the spiritual faculty has to be developed. Then all this routine, if you make it into a proper routine through understanding, then you will reverse your thinking mind, your mundane mind, until it's trained, until most of the time it's aware, mindful. And then from a heedless mind that has a lot of thinking, a lot of mental hindrance, you transform your life into a heedful way of living life. And your mind is always heedful, means ever mindful, with clarity, with understanding, that has the silent mind, meditative mind, to see things as they are, to understand the truth and the reality. Then you can use that to meditate, to develop wisdom and understanding. And this is what meditation is all about when you understand. Then maybe I will read to you a bit of the short note so that you understand. This short note, you don't have to remember. I already sent out in the WhatsApp. If you want, you can go and read. Anyway, I printed one set each. Later, I will photostat and give it to you all. You keep this. Those who are going for the retreat, you need this. Yeah, this is very useful. These are the short note, the gist of what I share at every of this session. You have this, you will understand. I read, you listen. Hypnosis or short note for lesson 65 of the Six Patria Platform Sutta dated 7 January 2018. It is important to understand what constitutes defilement so that we can see them clearly in our meditation and daily life to arise the right effort to take care of our karma. Defilement means having mental negativity and evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. However, in cultivation, one's practice or cultivation must not take the focus of just to get rid of defilement, because this will not result in true progress. Instead, it may give rise to great stress involving the thinking, the effort to rid of defilement, and concentration or focusing, etc. Instead, the concern should be to straighten one's view via careful observation to develop the wisdom. With wisdom, defilement will automatically cease to be. Always remember, only wisdom frees the mind. Because the next part you will understand. Be observant and mindful via the silent mind most of the time to understand what is happening, not reacting to every situation based on memory and one's own previous conditioning. With right view, one will be able to arise the rest of the Noble Eightfold Path factor appropriately to progress along the path of Dhamma. Then don't use force to suppress, control, and banish defilement, as defilement are created by delusion. When there is delusion, there is defilement, leading to the stirring of the mind to arise the duality of good and bad, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesomeness. Once there is duality, it's impossible to get rid of the negative, because negativity, bad and unwholesome mind state, they come in a package with its opposite. When you don't create the opposite, it's not. This is understanding or wisdom, just like I explained just now. You don't create good, there is no bad. That's why the Buddha said, when this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. So you don't create, because these are conventional truth, right and wrong, good and bad. Defilement is what your thought create for you to fear. That's why they got a teaching on it. It make you evil. Then you have to use right effort. That is at the thought level. But when you develop wisdom, you don't use thought. You see it, understand it through observation, through the silent mind. Then you develop the wisdom to straighten your view. Then you will not fall into this trap. Then like Hui Ning said, originally, before you create, there was nothing. So where can defilement alight? Where can the dust alight? Dust is like defilement. As I sense you with the wrong view, he said, we have to polish it until it shines so that no dust can alight. Means the mundane mind, he said, ever mindful, polish until it shines. But the Buddha never teach wisdom that way. Because that one is always need to be there to polish. Who polish? The form and mind polish. So the thought is actively trying to guard against defilement. But where did defilement come from? Your own creation, which is delusion. And you want to get rid of it. You want to get rid of it, you have to get rid of both sides. So don't create. Then like I say, think it's just the way it is. No right, no wrong. Right and wrong is relative truth, convention, not absolute truth. You understand? Right according to you, that is not right. That is your truth. You think is the truth. That is relative truth. But the reality is, when conditioned like that, things will be like that. So no right, no wrong. Just like an angry man get violent, you can say, this guy is wrong. How can he do that? That is your view. But the person have with the wisdom is that he is just the way he is, with delusion, with the negativity of mind state, the violence inside there, which is an evil root, which is anger and hatred that translate into violence. He will behave like that and act like that. That is the reality. There is no right and no wrong about things. So I don't call it wrong. Then I don't have problem, understand? then I can be at peace with what happened. Ah, yes. You cannot develop, you have to meditate to understand. When you understand, you no longer deceive or deluded. I give you a very simple example. Let's say you think you have a very good friend who always come and talk nice thing to you and praise you, say, Eric, I think you did the right thing, you are good. But actually he got a motive, want to convince you, make you believe him. Then one day you found out that he really, really don't mean what he say. He's there to deceive you because he say this with a motive. Then what will happen when you found out that truth? Not somebody tell you, you know, you really saw him doing all this thing behind you, you know. Then what you'll do? You never believe him anymore, you know? And you know who is that friend, you know? Your thought. You understand, you know? Because your thought keep on telling you, that guy, he cheat you before, you know? You trust him, you better plan, take action. Your mental intention is your thought, understand? That condition you to become miserable. And that is the one that always lie to you, because you don't understand. But you think your thought have to be faithful to you, isn't it? Because you don't have wisdom. That's why thought can manipulate you. You understand? Because the thought will tell you a lot of funny things. Hey, this one, you better go and work hard on it and get it. Like you love somebody, then because love at first sight or what, then you want to go all out by hook or by crook to just get her. Then you can become violent. You can do a lot of things that are not in accordance with the law, because that craving, that lust, will cause you to act. And that one comes from the thought. The thought is the one that conditions you to believe all those things. But if you don't believe the thought, what happens? Like Bayang Kathy teach very good thing. He said, ask four questions, four lines of questioning, then you will wake up. Now, let's say the thought make you miserable. You believe the thought. And really, it's true. Let's say, the good example last time we gave, you're not married, not yet. You're still safe, Let's say you're married, then you get into misunderstanding, then you suspect your spouse cheat on you. Then you hire a private investigator and you found out really cheat on you. So what you do? What you do? You also go and cheat on her. Just like that case in the paper one, the what MACC chief, with the video, then what happened? The wife, the husband received the video, then divorced the wife. But if you do all those things, what happened? You get angry. First, you get angry, you hate her, because she breached the trust. She is not faithful, understand? So the thought tell you all these things. And to you, it's the truth, isn't it? You hire a private investigator, it's all confirmed, isn't it? Bayang Kathy say, ask yourself four questions. Is the thought telling you the truth? You should respond yes, isn't it? Well, under such circumstances, how can it be not? Then the second line of question is, are you sure it's the absolute truth? Oh, so fast. My wife alarm sound already, tentative. Then, of course, you say, yeah, it's the truth. What? Then the third and fourth turn you around. When you believe that thought, what happened to you? You become miserable, isn't it? Full of jealousy, full of hatred. Isn't it? You become a monster, isn't it? That is what you believe. The thought, your good friend. Understand? You say, my thought, or my own thought, how can he betray me? Understand? But without wisdom, he is not your friend. Understand? He deludes you to wrong view, to wrong thought. That's why it conditions your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sadness, your sorrow, your lament. This is all wrong thought. Then the fourth question is the turnaround. Without thinking the thought. Who are you? Before you found out all this, understand? No? Before you believe all this thought, you are very loving, you know? Very beautiful, having your good life. You know? You don't have all this misery. You know? So what she is trying to tell you is, if you don't believe your thought, you are a free person. And this freedom, everybody has it, he said. But human beings don't understand. And because they don't understand, they get themselves entangled. So you will ask the question, isn't it? But the problem is still there, isn't it? Haven't got resolved, isn't it? I cannot say I don't want to think about it, isn't it? Then I'm happy, isn't it? What he is trying to tell you is don't believe that thought. He say, have a clear mind. Don't get angry. Don't stir like the Buddha. Understand not? Then when you have the clarity of mind, when you are at peace, you look at it. He is what she is, isn't it? Lustful, deluded, selfish, he will do those things. So you have to accept. She already preached the marriage contract, the trust. So you have to resolve it amicably. That's it. No need to get angry and become miserable and then question him, her, confront her. You think she also happy? She also not happy. But because of human weakness, lust, selfishness, delusion, they do all this. That's why they say every human being make mistake. I only agree before you become enlightened. Yes. Every human being before they become enlightened, they make mistake. But after your mind has the understanding and resolve, that is the reality. Reality means what? Right view. You act according to wisdom. You check Noble Eightfold Path, say what? Oh, law, karma. I am born of it, here to it, conditioned, supported by it. I am what I am because of it. In the past, I must have cheated people, do the same thing to people. That's why now I'm the victim. Fair or not? You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Then you realize karma cannot play a fool. Do you understand? Then you're free. Understand? Then you tell your wife, don't worry. If you like to do all these things, I cannot accept you. That's it. I'm not angry with you. You are what you are. You have your own choice. You have your own karma. But please, my advice is, it has its karmic friction. It has its consequence. So, if I am as deluded as you, I will be afflicted. I will get angry. I will get miserable. Then my parent will get involved. Your parent will get involved. The children will get involved. Everybody get stuck. Just because of one lustful emotion, selfish emotion, you get everybody into trouble. So you look at it, the third precept. Now you see the importance of the third precept. Why the Buddha introduced it? Just because of that lust, that spouse is willing to risk the whole family unit's happiness and good life just because they violated that principle. It's not about right and wrong. It's about affecting the whole family unit. So if there is no Dhamma, no wisdom, everybody will get entangled and become very miserable, I tell you. Then the lawyer make all your money. File divorce, everything, all got legal fee on. Understand? Then serve notice 2 years before the actual marriage. So all this, if you know how to resolve it amicably, it's very easy. Talk to them. Okay, now, how shall we resolve this? You've got children, so no problem. Where you are still the maternity father, you're still the maternity mother. We can still look after them. Even though we are divorced. Understand? But you are still the parent. You still have a duty. So resolve it amicably. How you want to resolve it at more? Then if you got the heart to forgive and all those things, it's up to you. Understand? That one is your option. Maybe you know it's coming. Previously, I did to people, but I don't know. Then it's up to you to resolve it amicably. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, speak the right speech. Understand? Arise the right thought. Then act with wisdom. Don't act with fear, worry, anxiety, negativity, and violence. So this is how Bhayan Kathy shared the teaching. He said, when you understand it's the thought that create all this negativity, the wrong thought, that condition your negative mind state, then you shouldn't believe the thought. Then should you ask yourself, what happened? What happened is a reality. Out of lust, out of selfishness, maybe delusion at the moment, she was tempted, then maybe it happened. Like we say, before you are enlightened, you make mistakes. But don't use that to justify all your mistakes. Because the consequence is too severe to pay. It not only end here, you will continue into the future. In future, you become the victim and you go through that traumatic experience. Whatever you cause to people, it will ripen. So all this understanding will allow you to act with the right view. You will know how to act. Need to ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness, not from her, but from all those beings from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly that you have committed karmic negativity. And then your mind becomes peaceful. Then you can move on. Yeah. It doesn't mean when you divorce, everything split into two. No. You can still arrange for your kid to have custodian in certain way. I think I have to go. Better go. Oh, we better end. So we will stop here. We will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then you can make your aspiration. Then we will end. Aka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakhantu loka sasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo. Sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.
Let's express our gratitude and sincere for coming so far to share the from the Mount of Best by Jesus and his
friends.
So this is the LC for fetching gratitude and sincere.
Sadhu, sadhu,
sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Those of you that have not registered for the retreat, the Pierce Cameron retreat, March 16th to 24th, please do so as soon as possible.
Yeah. We have to finalize the transport and everything. Then we are going to call the briefing after 10 years. The briefing after 10 years.
Before?
Yeah.
I think that
you stop the election. Hold on, election won't be so early. At least after the election. Correct.